topic in that, and then now I forgot I have to do this. Where are you at, Zoom? Where does it go? Okay, where are we? How was it? Just get that TV out, just slightly.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
¿Listas?
Record on the computer. Okay. I don't want all this chaos in the video.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, ready?
Okay, I very much hear myself, so that's perfect.
What?
I said I very much hear myself.
Okay, good. Blasting. Can blasting. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
How about now? Okay.
Okay.
Lista?
Sí.
Hi.
Hi.
Always the giggles. We can't stop.
I know.
How are you?
I'm good. A little tired, but good.
Grad school, yo.
Grad school. Yeah. All the people know.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
I think.
Yeah, I'm wearing like a Barbie pink lipstick.
Lipstick.
You're welcome, world.
World, yes. Yes, world.
Yes, and my whatever, it's a run, but I don't care. My Little Pony sweater.
It's cute.
Ding, ding.
We all know.
Yay.
My Little Pony.
So, dude, last episode. This is our episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
And last episode, we talked about the yamas, which is the first limb of yoga.
Yes.
And today, we're going to talk about the second limb of yoga,
mm-hmm.
which are the niyamas. And before that, I just wanted to give a shout out to this place that we're recording in.
Oh, yes. So, we have moved location, but same owner and same company is Latinx Therapy and with Adriana. And we have now moved, still in Burbank. But
different building, same business.
Yes, same business.
And Latinx Therapy is also not only a community of Latinx therapists, but it's also a podcast, so you can find it too, and a directory for Latinx therapists, and I just read that 98% of their therapists speak Spanish.
Yay!
Yes.
So good, which is helpful because normally when you're going through emotional stuff, it's nice to be just speaking in your first language.
Exactly. And there's a lot of first gen or immigrants that either only speak Spanish or they're most comfortable speaking Spanish. So it's great to have that option of a therapist that speaks Spanish and also kind of like understands the culture, because that plays a big part.
It's a huge part. If we haven't learned anything from the pandemic, that is it.
Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Latinx Therapy here in Burbank. Check them out. They're on Instagram as at Latinx Therapy. Okay, so yamas, last episode. What are the yamas? Let's review.
Okay, so the first one is ahimsa.
But what are they in general?
Oh, so they are basically abstinences.
Okay.
To abstain from. I don't know the plural.
Like these, these suggestions of
Of restriction.
Of restrictions, yes.
Yeah.
And there were ahimsa, which is no harming, satya, which is telling the truth, Then what's next?
Estella.
The non-stealing. Estella, mm-hmm. which is non-stealing or being generous. Mm-hmm. What's the fourth?
Brahmacharya.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
is that the one with the... like, related to the sexual abstinence?
Yeah,
sometimes?
I was going to say self-control, but yeah, like mm-hmm. it directly translates to abstinence.
Mm-hmm. But it's like the modern interpretation. However you want to, let's say, manage your energy. Mm-hmm. It could be sexual or non-sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything else, the other yamas in mind, the non-harming and the truth and the generosity.
Mm-hmm.
You go into this mm-hmm. one. And then the fifth?
Aparigraha.
Mm-hmm.
Which is appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
The abstaining word.
What is it, like, translation for that one? Do we know?
Oh, no, I was just going to look it up. I thought I had it.
But never mind.
No, I don't know. Appreciation, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, gratitude practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now the niyamas. These are what?
Basically, observances
mm-hmm.
that okay. we follow to find harmony within ourselves and then with our world
okay.
around us.
So a lot of people say that, like, yamas are the don't and niyamas are the do's.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the yamas, we try to present them as... Jenny Lee in her book, mm-hmm. which is a reframed version of them, which is like mm-hmm. focusing on the positive.
The so positive instead of aspect,
like
yeah.
non-harming is like being compassionate, mm-hmm. or instead of like non-stealing is like being generous.
Mm-hmm.
So now the niyamas are already like in a positive
light.
Light, yeah. exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's exactly. do.
Okay, so.
Let's go over them. Number one.
Saucha.
Saucha.
Which means purity.
Purity. Yeah, there's this... I feel like there's this obsession in yoga of, like, being clean. And there's all these, like, cleaning techniques or, like, detox
mm-hmm.
techniques for your body. But, like, anywhere from, like, all the holes in your body, like, physically, to be, like, okay, scrape your tongue and, like, clean mm-hmm. your ears and your nostrils, your... How do you call this in... signs in English? Your... All of these that you have in your forehead and right next to your nose, when you have sinusitis, are those
sinuses? Uh-huh. But I think they're the lymph nodes.
The lymph nodes? That's where you're cleaning?
Yeah, like you use the roller to like move the fluid.
Oh, I was talking about the neti pot.
The neti pot.
Yeah.
Oh, for sinus.
Yes, sinus.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were saying signs.
I couldn't remember the word in English for, like, sinus. We call them senos.
Oh.
Like, just like boobs, which is odd. But we call them senos para, like, paranasals. But, like, sinus is the Latin word.
Mm.
But mm-hmm. We just call that in Spanish, senos.
Mm-hmm.
So, sinus. In English, you guys use the Latin word.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? There's like all sorts of the digestive flush,
mm-hmm.
even like throwing up, like saline water and then like just mm-hmm. throwing it up. Mm-hmm. Those to me, a few of them are like, that's a little bit extreme or like too much. But it comes from that correlation of like, if you clean your body, then you can clean your mind mm-hmm. and your soul.
Yes.
And the other way around.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have more of a purification of the inner self, then that helps you within all the other practices of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So Jenny Lee, she says practicing saucha is basically like staying connected with the pure self in times of like chaos or like the calming in the storm or like the eye of the storm, if you've heard
yes.
of that. So just being able to really connect with that pure sense of self, even when things get chaotic, because sometimes we can get drawn into the environment and the chaos and whatever's happening on the outside of us, that then we lose touch with our sense of self. So being able to like work on those practices to purify both physical but also mental, emotional as well.
And I like that interpretation. Instead of being like purity, get rid of the toxins, it's more like connect to your true self.
Yes, absolutely. So let's see, some suggestions. Excuse me.
You're excused.
So, oh, like even decluttering.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, she recommends like getting rid of possessions. And that applies to people. What?
Too. That applies to people too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
To get rid of things that you that don't serve you. So decluttering, but also getting rid of.
Whether it's, you know, people who aren't serving you or toxic people or setting boundaries or whatever the case with others. But yeah, also just like decluttering your space, decluttering your car, decluttering the environments that you're in. Because when there is a lot of clutter, then the mind also is very cluttered.
And that's science. That's not like...
Yeah, no, that's not like, oh, maybe this. Like, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah,
That's pretty proven.
That's proven. Yeah, then when there is a lot of stimuli, you can't focus. Or it's harder.
It is harder. Yeah. So, or just like having appreciation for natural objects. You know what I mean? So whether it's plants, whether it's like being outside, appreciation for the trees, the earth, like the leaves, the flowers, even like the snow or the rain or the wind or, you know, whatever natural elements, rocks that crystals. Are around you, crystals. Yeah. Just getting into kind of that resonance with nature is also helping to purify the self.
Yes. Avoid plastic at all costs, please. The vibration of plastic is horrendous. No, it's low. And also, I mean, we know it's toxic. Like, it's just toxic for you, even if you touch it, even if you don't realize.
Yeah.
And just its production is just toxic to the environment and other species and people. Because marginalized people usually live next to toxic
spaces.
Yeah. Yes.
Buildings and whatever they're doing. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing she mentions too is just like decluttering your schedule. You know, so instead of like piling everything up and go, go, go and do all the things and say yes to everything, it's like, no, where can you actually say no to? Where can you give yourself some space and time to just honor yourself for a moment, you know? So it's like back to back to back to back things. Maybe it's like, no, like give yourself 15 minutes in between or 10 minutes in between, or at least like make sure you're not working through lunch. Like make sure you take a lunch.
I always do that. I work through lunch. I schedule without thinking.
Oh, really?
Oh, I need to eat. And the good thing is that with some clients, I can just eat at the same time. Like we're both like, especially with kids, it's more flexible because they're snacking and then I can snack too, or we make it a thing. Like we talk about our food and like that's a learning experience. But yeah, I tend to do that. And then I'm like, oh, when am I gonna, like right now, I haven't, I just had an apple and it's 3 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard practice. Or even like I try not to eat when I drive, but sometimes I feel like driving's the only time.
Exactly. That happens to me too. Eat. Commuting and eating. Because I commute for an hour, an hour back, and it's like, what am I going to do? Listen to podcasts and eat.
Yeah, it's like, do something, right? Utilize the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of just a way of, you know, being able to be aware of what your body needs and then taking the time to honor that.
Good. So. I mean, these are, I mean, this is very, like, applicable in life. Right away.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these things, a lot of the yamas and niyamas both are probably things we do all the time. We just don't necessarily recognize it or recognize it in like the yogic sense even. But it's like, oh wait, I actually do that, and oh, that is part of the niyama. Like, cool.
Yeah,
I am a yogi. Like, I'm doing the yogi thing.
Yes.
Or the yogini thing.
Yeah, because there's so many ways of like practicing yoga every day or like living a yogic life. But it's not the washed version of yoga, which is only asanas, only mm-hmm. poses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because literally a client of mine, he just, like, this was his last day of yoga. He's going back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you going to keep up your yoga practice? And he's like, I don't know if I have time. I was like, what do you mean? You don't have time for yoga. I was like, yoga's everything. And he's like, oh, you're right. He's like, yeah, if I just pay attention to my breath, that's yoga, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes.
It if is. I'm kind, that's yoga.
Yeah.
If we're vegan, that's yoga every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's understanding that it's not just, like you said, the asana. Or it's mm-hmm. not just one thing. It's not just meditation.
Yeah. It's not just committed to a physical practice or committing to mm-hmm. a meditation. It's everything. You can practice in the little things, the little actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or not actions, like what you don't say. That's also
what you abstain from.
What you abstain from, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Anything else you want to say about the first niyama, saucha?
Saucha. I like that name. I don't even know the names of the niyamas, dude.
I'll tell you.
Thank you. Saucha. Ha!
Saucha.
Okay,
Next.
Dos.
Santosha.
Santosha.
Which means contentment.
Uh-huh. I'm familiar with that one.
Mm-hmm. I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
Because to me, it reminds me of just coming into balance and neutral, like, spaces,
mm-hmm.
you know? So whether, like, instead of looking at something as good or bad,
yes,
it's just
is,
mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Even feelings, like, it's like you have a quote unquote negative feeling, but that's not necessarily bad or good. It's just what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so to, like, take, like, the sting or the stigma, yeah, or the judgment.
Right or wrong. Whatever you're feeling is never right or wrong. It's mm-hmm. just what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like this one a lot. I have to work on it a lot, though.
Yeah, I feel like I'm constantly working on it
mm-hmm.
because it's a hard one for me, like, mm-hmm. to be content and don't go to the, like, negative.
Right. Yeah. And, like, what Jenny Lee says in here, she's like, it shouldn't be confused with complacency or stagnancy.
Yeah. Like mediocrity, I'd say. Yeah. Because also, because of this, like, capitalist world that we live in where everything's supremacist and, like, there's supposed to be, like, this competitive thing all the time, some people might think that contentment means, like, oh, I don't care. I'm just mediocre, whatever.
Right.
But no, that's not it.
Yeah,
that's actually how you achieve happiness. Not really with achievements or goals or money or mm-hmm. if I get married, if I have kids, if I, like, all these things that society says that you should obtain
mm-hmm.
or that you should get at. It's really just bullshit. In reality, what's gonna make you happy is to appreciate what you have, focus on what you have,
right,
and accept that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, change it if you don't, like, in the future, start making changes to maybe change the situation, but in the moment, don't just stay in that
routine. Yeah, like that cyclical,
that void pattern. Yeah. That cyclical pattern of it's just not sustainable to be focusing on, like, what I don't have or mm-hmm. what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're always going to need something, or you're always going to be able to find something that you don't have.
Right. So
if you focus on that, then you're always going to be just focusing on that. It's like seeing the glass half full or half empty.
Optimism, pessimism. Yeah.
Yeah. And not toxic optimism or positivity, not that, like, I'm going to just pretend that everything's fine, but, like, truly being okay with the situation.
With what it is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too. It's a very, like, present moment practice.
Yes.
It gets you out of, you know, like, looking back in the past, which could lead to depression, or looking forward in the future, which could lead to mm-hmm. anxiety.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just worrying. Very much, like, okay, this is what it is. Now you have, like, time to evaluate and say, okay, I don't necessarily want things to be this way. But you have to catch the thoughts first,
because mm-hmm.
it's like, just like cognitive behavioral therapy, like, the thoughts leads to feelings to leads to actions. Yes. So if you want to change the actions, it starts with the thoughts.
Yeah.
And the feelings. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I mean, I like too what you said just about like the successes.
Yes.
And not necessarily having to focus on like the achievements and the success, but also to like be good with the process.
Yeah. Like when you practice asanas, so if that's the only thing you do and you have a good teacher,
yeah,
it probably told you like it's not the goal, like the pose is not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the process. It's like how you keep this same, like the breath, mm-hmm, and how you keep the balance,
mm-hmm,
while you're moving,
mm-hmm,
or being still.
Mm-hmm.
That's the yoga. It's not being able to achieve a pose.
Yeah, do
and
this
look
pose.
Like and have a, like an Insta moment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that is Santosha.
Yes, Santosha, I like you. I practice you. All the time.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, getting better.
Okay, so the third niyama is tapas.
Mm-hmm. Tapas, yes.
Which
I'm familiar with that one too.
Right action or non-attachment.
Okay.
So doing the right thing without attachment to like the result.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we had this example in my yoga training where this guy was like, I mean, I don't have an attachment. Like, I don't help people because I want to, like, be a hero or, like, feel good. But, like, for example, I can help feel frustrated when I give something. For example, I gave food to a homeless man and he was like, I don't eat this. And he was like, pissed, and he just like, I don't want that. And then I was pissed because I'm like, well, that's the attachment. You were expecting him to be super grateful and to like, and you feeling in some way like a savior.
Mm-hmm.
And that when that didn't happen, that's why you felt frustrated. And actually, he got pissed at me when I said that.
Well.
And I was like, again, expectations are.
Yeah.
And the teacher was like, I think the teacher later like kind of like deviated the conversation, but came back to that, to saying that, yes, it was in fact, he just didn't want to like, I guess, take sides.
Sure.
But yeah, it's when you do something expecting a specific result,
mm-hmm,
when in reality you can't control the future.
Yeah, we can't control much.
Yeah.
I mean, we have control over what we focus on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because, like, the thoughts are going to come in. So many thoughts come in. But we have the option to choose what thoughts want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And choose what thoughts we want to be like, okay, I don't want that thought.
Like, and also reaction.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Reaction to that. To anything.
Yeah. Reaction versus... what's the word I want?
Pre-action.
Pre-action.
Yeah, like when you are worried, that's actually, mm-hmm, like preoccupied. Like you're, mm-hmm, thinking about something because you don't know, you're kind of like attached to the result,
mm-hmm,
or to thinking what the result can be. And if this happened, then what's next? But if that were to happen, then what would I do? Because then I would be this and this and, mm-hmm, this and that. And then you create these scenarios that are completely hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
But you literally live them. Like, your emotions are there.
Yeah.
And if the scenario that you're imagining doesn't go your way, you're suffering completely pointlessly.
Now twice.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. Because you didn't even know if you were going to get there and suffer then, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, tapas is hard. Like, you know, thinking about... Again, probably, and what comes in too, is like that saucha, the purity,
mm-hmm,
within yourself helps you to move within the right direction and come from a space of right action.
Yeah.
So then that way, if you have a trust in yourself to do what you know is best and what's right... then I think it's probably easier to let go of the attachment because you trust that you're going to do what's right.
If you're connected to your intuition, mm-hmm. there's less doubt. There's just, oh yeah, I know that this is... But to be connected to your intuition and like be, you have to, you need clarity.
Yep.
So that's when it gets tricky.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like in yoga, we can see some examples of that attachment or that those expectations when people like start practicing it because they think it's gonna do something specific for them. Like, oh, I'm doing it because I want my body to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Or I want whatever it is, like you're putting like an idea that, okay, I'm doing this for this result. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then in reality, you don't know.
Right.
You might gain weight doing yoga because that's what your body needs.
Yeah, you know? Who knows?
Like, yeah. Who knows?
And I think too, to that point, it's like, because in yoga, we do set an intention.
Yes.
So there is like a specific thing that like sometimes we want to put our focus on. Yes. But I feel like that is different than, like, having this desire or need for, like, going into the practice.
No, yeah. And intention is just, like, what you're going to be focusing on.
Right.
Like, today in this practice, I'm going to be focusing on, like, I am healthy or I am abundant or I am, like, whatever it is that you want to, or, like, anything is possible.
Right.
Like, whatever, how it's kind of like the perspective you're going to have during the time of that day's practice.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as at the end of this practice, I'm going to feel super relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because that's like the ego coming in.
Yeah. Or I'm going to be able to do my splits all the way after this month.
Yeah.
Or, and yeah, that's not yoga. Mm-mm. That's gymnastics or ballet. Do those.
Yeah.
They traumatize. I love ballet, but it's like, it has also traumatized a lot of dancers. Yes, because there's like a specific aesthetic and there's
that
like
you have to.
And also like competition, comparison.
Yeah.
At ranks. Mm. Like prima ballerina. Mm-hmm. Like Corvus or like just the choir or like core of the ballet. Like it's
interesting.
Mm-hmm. And there's mirrors and you're always looking at yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something in the yoga room that I like to have, no mirrors.
Same. That's one of the things that are, it's like almost like a requirement for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No mirrors. It also tells you the kind of studio it is, the style kind of, when they don't have mirrors.
Yeah. Which is interesting because it's like I understand the perspective of like wanting mirrors for right alignment, for safety. And I think maybe even as a beginner, it can be helpful so that you understand what the shape is, not only in your body, but what it looks like for your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be different than you looking around everyone else in the room. But ideally, you're practicing with a teacher who's going to look at you for safety, for adjustment, for alignment. And therefore, why mirror?
Yeah. And actually, even in ballet, there's always mirrors, but the teacher will always say, don't look in the mirror. Feel the position. Don't look at the position. Just feel it.
Interesting. Yet, that's hard.
The mirror.
Because that's tempting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm tempted. Every time there's a mirror.
And usually, like, you practice this choreo, and just like in the dance realm, you practice a choreo always like look in the mirror. And when it's like, okay, let's do it away from the mirror. It's like the next step. It's like, okay, we're ready now to like feel each other and like feel our space and not bump into each other. Not don't bump into each other or don't rely on copying each other through the mirror.
I see.
Because now you're going to be facing the audience and you won't have that. So it's kind of like cutting the training wheels.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the last step of like, okay, this choreo is done now away from the mirror. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to then take it to yoga, if you will, like without mirrors is actually like a deeper practice.
Exactly. Because you feel it in your body.
Yeah. Bringing it, embodying it.
Embodying it. Literally.
More connected with the breath. Mm-hmm. More connected with yourself. Within the meditation.
And less stimuli, which we also talked about, like, less clutter, because the mirror, you're looking at everyone too. Mm-hmm. It's not just like your mirror when you're looking at yourself. You're looking at everyone that's behind
everything's
you.
Everything's going
and,
on.
Yeah, and then the sides.
And if you say that's not happening, I beg to differ, but, you know, maybe you have some really good focus.
One time, actually, I was, like, sad that my yoga studio didn't have mirrors, because Sutton Foster, which is a very prominent Broadway actress, she crossed over to TV, and some people might know her through TV, but I know her from Broadway. She's, like, a legend. I took a class, the whole class, without noticing that she was there. And in the end, she was, like, thanking the teacher. And I was like, oh, my God, you're Sutton Foster. I was like, I usually, like, take tea before I left the studio. And I was, like, serving the tea so slowly and then, like, blowing on it and then sipping on it super slowly to be in the same room with her as her, like, for longer. That was the only time that I was like, damn it. But at the same time, it's like, if there had been a mirror, I would have been focusing on Sutton Foster the whole class.
Yeah, and not your practice.
Yes. Yeah. And probably, like, performing, you know, like, she needs to see this. Mm-hmm. She needs to see how great my King Dancer is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, that whole idea of, like, performing. Like, the second you, I don't know, like, you get... like that sense, like someone's watching or you want to like impress, it's like, bah.
Yes,
it's like, it's so funny in a classroom when you're teaching and it's all females and then one male walks in, the whole energy changes and all these women all of a sudden, I've noticed, practice yoga differently.
Yeah, they're either more self-conscious,
yes,
or they want to like probably like
do their best, or
yeah,
whatever.
There are different reasons.
Of course, yeah.
Be like, oh, completely now different. I can't, like, oh, yeah. I feel, like, not as comfortable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can also be, like, oh, instinctively, the ego, like, oh, I'm going to be flirty, or, like, whatever. It could be different ways.
Yeah, totally different ways.
Different approaches to that. Not that all women are one to, like, one the acceptance of, like, the one do, but it changes the dynamic.
No, but it changes the energy. Yeah, completely. But, I mean, that kind of brings it back to, like, the tapas and the right action and just, again, being with yourself. I mean, like, no, I'm doing this for me, regardless of my environment, regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
So, okay. Tapas.
Okay, tapas.
Which is also tapas... translates as fire as well.
Okay.
So tapas and like Agni is fire and puja is fire, like all these different kind of aspects of fire. So with that fire energy, it's like willpower, empowerment, like solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's also like guiding force there.
I've heard another word for tapas that was discipline. Mm. But I don't know how to... It could be like the... What you just said, the like... motivation or
the willpower
to do things.
Well, it's just continually doing it for yourself, and it's like to build that needs to be a practice, just like the whole yoga practice in general. But it's like you don't just, well, maybe some people, but a lot of people don't just be like, okay, I want the willpower, and then willpower. Like it's a practice and a discipline of like, no, I'm going to do my yoga every day in some aspect, or like learn a yama or niyama every day, or practice some aspect. Like it, there is a discipline in being aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to
me. Tapas. I see you, tapas.
Okay. The next niyama is svadhyaya, which is self-reflection. Or, like, diving into, like, sacred text and learning.
So it's basically the time you take to learn about yourself or how you're going to apply the philosophy in your life.
Yeah, so it's very much relying on, you know, whether you're conversing with teachers, or you're studying or
making a podcast.
Making a podcast. Yeah. But I mean, even like going to therapy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Is Svadhyaya.
Yeah.
That not many people think is a yogic practice. But
yes.
Going to therapy and like counseling is a yogic practice because you are diving into yourself. You're looking at the shadow self. You're looking at these things you don't want to look at. You're talking about, you know, being yourself in a space that is non-judgmental and just seeing what happens. Yeah. So self-reflection. I mean, and there's so many sacred texts. It's not just the sacred text of yogic tradition.
Yeah, it can be your, all of your, what you consider
sacred.
Sacred texts.
Jenny Lee says, the best time for reflective study is after meditation when your intuition and awareness is heightened.
Pro tip.
Mm-hmm.
You Jenny heard. Lee,
that's what's up. or just even the simple act of like reflecting at the end of the day and just like contemplating like, okay, what did I do today? How did I feel? Yeah, exactly. How did I feel?
How did I react to this?
Mm-hmm.
How did I solve that?
Mm-hmm.
How did I talk to Hannah?
Right. What was that like? Yeah. Or like journaling, you know what I mean? And it could
Hannah
easily
is a
be.
Journaler.
What?
I'm saying Hannah is a journaler.
Oh, yeah. I journal. I like
she journals. Yeah, that's a really good practice.
But, you know, it could be like morning pages, journaling, where, like, you wake up first thing in the morning and you just write whatever. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, like, reflective at the end of the day. It could be gratitude journaling, whatever the case. But even, like, the gratitude practice is...
Is reflective.
Is reflective.
Yeah.
And is connecting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well put.
Yeah. I mean, with all these things, I mean, they really intertwine with each other. It's not like, okay, this is the eighth niyama, so this is step eight.
Yeah.
Like, no. You can literally do
but
self-study.
Only five, right?
Or niyama. What?
Well, because there's five yamas and five niyamas.
Yeah, I'm combining yamas and niyamas. But even then... The yamas and the niyamas can intertwine.
Intertwine, yeah, definitely.
As long as you're holding ahimsa.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. First. Exactly, yeah. If you and actually, if you practice, like, if you have ahimsa always, in, like, before everything you do or say or in your thoughts and what you surround yourself, then basically the rest just kind of, like, it's easier that it falls into place more easily.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because if you're trying to not... harm, then you're not gonna steal or you're not gonna lie. You're gonna be generous. You're gonna take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to reflect so you don't hurt yourself or others.
Right. Mm-hmm. And have that discipline and have that
yes.
yearning to do better and
to do
find
better.
That right
yes.
action and find that purity within yourself.
Yeah.
It like is all, it's all connected.
It's all connected.
All connected. Okay.
Is this a fifth?
Yep, this is the last one.
Okay.
So, the last niyama is called Ishwara Pranidhana.
Mm-hmm. Ishwara Pranidhana. Can I read it? Ishwara Pranidhana.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there are different ways to spell this, so I'm not going to spell it out loud because some people add H's, some people
yes.
add V's instead of W's, some, you know, I don't know.
And... Also, in other words, instead of an S, it's like an SH.
Yeah.
I think like the S by itself, it's a sh sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like shirshasana.
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 Shirshasana. Shirshasana.
Yet asana is with an S. I don't get that. Is it asana in reality? No, it's asana.
No. It is asana. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't looked at my...
I did...
You know, in TT, they taught us about Sanskrit and how to say it and pronounce it. But it's like a very ancient written language. It was never really a spoken language.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't have much there.
I don't speak Sanskrit either.
Unless it's in yoga. And then I try.
Yeah.
but okay, so Ishwara Pranidhana is devotion.
Okay.
Tell me, Mela. Tell me about
your devotion. No, I remember that I was reading a book. Actually, one of the books about, like, the shadows, but it was, like an earlier version, what it was, like, super dense. And so many chapters were about devotion or the divine and, like, and it was very hard for me to connect to that. And I remember telling you about it, and I was like, I'm having trouble grasping these concepts of devotion to the divine.
Yeah.
Because in the first place, I struggled with the concept of the divine in the first place. Mm-hmm. Or God. Like, mm-hmm. I struggled with my definition of those terms because I was never raised in any religion. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think I was even raised with a bias against religion.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand, like, I understand what's wrong about organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I know now the difference between faith and religion, like organized religion.
Okay.
So it was very hard to me to connect. And then I remember I was like, dude, I'm like, I don't know. I'm having trouble even like reading this because every time it says divine, I lose focus because yeah. I'm like, yeah, it throws me yeah. off because it's like, ugh. And even in teacher training, every time there was something like God or something,
yes.
I was like, ugh, like, what's my substitution for that word? Like, how can I...
Yeah.
What is that to me? What yeah. does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying, like, yeah, like, this devotion, like, I don't know, like, what is it? Like, I don't know if I'm, like, surrendering to the divine. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what devotion means to me or if I'm doing it or if I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people go through.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in Kundalini yoga, they use the language God a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had friends or students be like, ah, like, that is triggering me, like, talking about, like, God like this in a space that was supposed to be welcome to all.
Mm-hmm. Is that, what's that thing in Ayurveda that, sanskara?
A samskara?
Samskara, yes.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an attachment, an attached idea to a thing or whatever it is, to something, yeah. and it's hard for you to, like, break with
to
it.
Really, yeah.
To, like, change its meaning.
Yeah.
Or reframe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you said, do you remember what you told me? About, was like, devotion?
Just about how you're devoted to, like, your practice and yes. your, like, the way you are vegan and the devotion to, like, feminism and the devotion to, like, your act... What's the word?
Activism?
Activism, yeah.
yeah. It, like, basically, actually? It could be, like, the your passion. Because yeah. I'm like, yeah. You basically translated to me, like, you're a passionate person, and your passion is your devotion, how mm-hmm. you're devoted to, like, the people you love, mm-hmm. or, like, caring for...
Oh, yeah.
Caring for yeah. people, or, like, the subjects that are important to you, or learning, or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So your yearn to, like, learn or be better or be compassionate or be there for others
yeah.
or love others, that is devotion.
Yeah, it's like your underlying current. And your
commitment
current.
To yourself to be better yeah. and to be okay, to be mm-hmm. well.
To be well. yeah. Yes. But it's like the motivational drive or force mm-hmm. that keeps you going, that keeps you waking up, that keeps you... continuing your whatever you're doing for life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be just divine. Like, what is divine? Such a big idea.
Yes.
Right? That so many people have so many opinions on
mm-hmm.
because of whatever life experience that they've had.
Yeah.
So, like, in this Ishvara Pranidhana, it's just the devotion maybe to self. Maybe it's your mm-hmm. devotion to science. Maybe it's mm-hmm. devotion to research or, like you said, learning. Or people, to animals, you know. It could be just the simple idea, like devotion to the earth.
Yeah.
The water, you know, the elements, whatever. Or just the idea of, like, surrendering to love.
Yes.
Just, like, being in love, immersing yourself in love. Because when you're operating out of the frequency of love, like, all the other stuff falls to the wayside if it's a lower energy. Which is another
thing that I want us to talk about maybe next time and next episode. But, like, those stages of, like, or, like, levels of frequency, I think. What is that called? I don't even know. But there's, like, a chart that it's, like, the levels. Like, the lowest is shame. Oh, and the highest is enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, 3D, 4D, 5D.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, how you, like, vibrate, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
we can talk about that next time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kling. You have to do some research.
Yes.
Because from just the general aspect of it, hearing that is just thinking about, like, when you're in a lower feeling, right? Just think about how your body feels. Mm-hmm. Think about how you're operating. And then think about how your body feels when you're joyous or happy or excited or whatever.
Or in love.
All those things. It's like you can even just feel the different frequency within yourself.
And people can feel it too. And you can drive people away if you're, like, really depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And people can feel like, oh, she's like a party pooper. Like, no, I mean, I'm actually clinically, you know.
Yeah. Like, there's not. There's a diagnosis for that.
But it does. It can, like, people can be sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. Frequency and be like, oh, I just don't want to
be around
that, just automatically without thinking, giving it much thought. I mean,
yeah, yes.
So we'll do that next time. What else for today? How have you been with grad school? Please tell us, what else have you learned? Tell me.
This is probably not what you're gonna say, but or maybe it is. So I haven't known much about schizophrenia, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've never looked into this. But we're learning about it. And schizophrenia happens when there's too much dopamine released in the body and the brain. And to me, reading that and learning about that, I was like, what? Like, all of the science, like, not all the science, obviously. That's the science. But I feel like all of the like health culture and wellness culture talks about, like, lower stress hormones and raise dopamine and raise serotonin and all the happy feelings and yay, yay, yay. So I've always had that perception of, like, all the dopamine's good. All the serotonin's good. Like,
but that's why there's this concept in science and, like, just, like, I guess, biological systems.
Mm-hmm.
Homeostasis is, like, it's not really a balance. Or it's not, it's like, it's defined by, the definition of homeostasis is when all, it within a system, when all the variables are within the range or, like, their normal levels.
Yes.
Because if there's less or more, then the other levels automatically are gonna try to compensate and then there's gonna be, like, a mess. And that's illness.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of
homeostasis
is illness.
Mm-hmm. Which correlates directly to yoga because we're always trying to find balance and homeostasis in everything.
Mm-hmm. And even I think the first definition in teacher training, it was like, what is yoga? And before the, like, union and, like, all of those things, they explained it, like, graphically. It's like, let's say this is your mind, and it was like a tit tit, like going up and down,
like a heart rate.
Yeah, like a EKG. What do you call those?
EKG.
Electrocardiogram. EKG. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Electrocardiogram.
Yes, electrocardiogram. Yes. See, I can say that, but I can say EKG for some reason. So it's like up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like yoga is a way to make them more like waves until it finally is
me.
That's bliss when you're not. And to me, that's like being, like, you know, being Mexican and also, like, an actress and like so like dramatic and passionate and an Aries to me that's like what? So I don't get to enjoy the ups and downs.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? But I see how it makes sense. Like, because it's also kind of like, it's a practice. It's not like you're going to be in bliss 24/7.
Right.
Unless you're like, I don't know, the Buddha. The boots.
The boots. The boots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, the body is going to regulate to find homeostasis, so if you are exaggerated to that high, there's going to be a low.
Yes.
And you just have to understand that that's what's going to happen.
So what is schizophrenia? I mean, how does it present? That's what I mean. Like, there's a, like an imbalance.
Oh, there's so much.
I mean, like, there's a lot of it, and then you crash. Or it's always high?
No, it's always high.
Okay.
It's always high. So that's why you have to have medication. Yeah. Not have to, but...
To regulate it.
It is the most very effective. Helpful to have medication, which is also something that I'm learning is, a thing. Because I have not ever really liked to use medication, Western medication.
Mm-hmm. Same.
To aid my body.
Mm-hmm.
But also... Genetically and biologically, I don't necessarily need it.
Yeah. You haven't been in that state when it's like, we need to pull you from whatever it is. Like, whatever super dangerous condition.
Yeah.
Or state.
Yeah. So with schizophrenia, the medication is there to help not release so much dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very helpful.
Yeah. And it does have, like, you know, side effects,
there's
obviously.
There's going to be side effects, of course. But to regulate the fact that you're not going into psychosis all the time.
Mm-hmm. Risking your life and lives
and
of
lives
others.
And lives of others. Yeah. Like, it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, unfortunately, when they go into psychosis,
hurt.
They end their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever some voices told them to, or whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different too because we use like, oh, you're a psycho, you know, in such common language.
Oh,
or, oh, you're schizo.
Or even you're crazy.
Right? You're crazy, yeah.
Or OCD.
Yeah, like
which
we just
is not
use...
even the name of, like, it's the name of the disorder. It's not the name of, like,
a
person with the disorder. But, like,
exactly.
We throw these terms around like they're fucking
like
confetti.
They're just... Like, just I'm going to use whatever language I want to all the time, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, those are actually serious conditions that happen to real people with real consequences and side effects. So it's very interesting to start to learn. You know, I'm in the process of learning, so I can't tell you much more yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But...
You've told us a lot, Hannah.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jack.
This was very informative, as usual.
But it is just interesting to understand that, or like even with depression, like some people are just biologically predispositioned for depression. And the thing is that, yes, there are ways to help with depression that don't include medication.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if someone is suffering such major depression, they might not even have the motivation to do anything, to get out of bed, to blink their eyes, to turn on the lights, to drink water, to go to the bathroom. Like, literally daily functioning does not happen. Like, brushing the teeth does not happen. Putting clothes on does not happen. Showers, like, when those things are that depressed, like, sometimes medication can just give them, like, a little jolt of energy to
go to therapy.
To wake, not even go to therapy, dude. Like, literally just to... Go to bathroom in the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead
of, like, feed yourself. Like, not die.
Yes.
Literally.
So it's like I am now learning benefits of medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because now does that person have to be on medication for the rest of their life? Maybe, maybe not. But at least if they can get some motivation to start applying other coping mechanisms, to start going to therapy, to start helping the situation... then maybe they can taper off.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're fine with the idea that this medication helps. So It's been very enlightening because I've been very against it for a while.
Because sometimes what happens is that it's not accompanied by therapy, like, but another kind of guidance. Like, it's just putting a Band-Aid on something instead of attacking the root cause.
Right.
Like, you need to go to the, you know, so where's what's causing the depression? Is it really just a chemical imbalance? Or is it something that's triggering it? Like an abusive relationship or like a codependent relationship or some stress-relating situations, like your work or, I don't know, your migration status, your environment in your house with your family, being in the closet. Like, so many things can be triggering that.
Right. But it also can be just purely biological.
Yes.
And no other reason.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, too, that I'm like, oh, like, literally it can be just science. And that's something that I haven't really given thought to. Because I'm always like, there's always a root cause.
Yeah.
There's always something going on. But literally, no. It could just be what's happening in the brain.
Yeah.
And for that, medication is like the way to assist. So that's been enlightening because I don't like that answer, says my ego. But the therapist in me is like, and any and all options to help the person.
Yeah, and you can always, like, you can always have that as, okay, is this, what's the root? If it's only chemical, okay, then there's a solution for that super easily. It's like dysfunctional. Erectile dysfunction. It's like, is it medical or is it psychological? And which one's worse?
Or is it a side effect? And you're like, shit.
Or physical. Yeah, it's like, which one's worse? Because if it's emotional, damn.
What can I do?
So it's a good option. It's a good thing to know that you have that.
It's a good thing to know that some things can just purely be chemically and scientifically and biologically happening.
Yeah.
That's helpful for me to know.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's grounding.
That is grounding.
Yeah.
Because I always want to be like, let's dig this out. Let's figure this out. Like, let's help. Like, let's do yoga. Let's do this. Let's have
a regression to previous lives.
Yeah, past life regression. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but maybe also, it's just simple.
It could just literally be, like, that's why people, like, it's hard for me when people want to know the why all the time. Or like, why is this happening? Or why is this? It's like, some people literally don't know why. Or like, why are you feeling that way? Sometimes it's just a chemical imbalance in the brain. Well, because my neurotransmitter didn't release. Or it did too much serotonin. Now, like, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I just know I'm feeling like this way.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, ma'am.
Good learning, Hannah.
All the things. One day at a time. Learn
all
something
A's.
New.
All A's, bitch. Yes.
Till midterms, we'll see. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so far.
They're due Sunday, so I have some time.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, you're learning. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
So, I guess that's it for today.
Okay.
I just wanted to give a shout out to our editor and mixer, Susana Romero, in Colombia.
Yes.
Hi. Hey, girl. Hey. Hola.
She's probably listening, editing, like, oh, hey,
oh,
that's me.
That's me. Susana. See.
Yeah, so helpful. She's been doing all the editing for the audio and cutting and doing all the things we don't know how to do. So.
Yeah. And also to our illustrator, graphic designer that just gave us our beautiful cover that you're going to start. I mean, you already, by this episode, you already seen the new the new look. Her name's Jocelyn Vasquez and she's in Tijuana. If you want to follow her on Instagram and see her creations, her Instagram is at Tia Aburrida. It's T-I-A-A-B-U-R-R-I-D-A. I can't spell. It's hard for me because we don't spell in Spanish. We just like know how to write phonetically. Yeah, we just sound it out.
Yeah.
So I'm a slow speller, and I really need to imagine the letters in my head.
And also, we don't listen all that well, so it's nice to spell slow.
Yes, you're welcome.
I appreciate. So I'm like, wait, hold on. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Yeah, but sometimes people just like spell things at me super quickly, and I'm like, whoa, 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 you need to slow down.
Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes. Okay, yeah.
Reverse.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to check her work, Tia Aburrida, which means bored aunt.
Bored?
Bored aunt.
Aunt.
Aunt, like, not like, yeah, not the insect, but.
Oh, like your
auntie.
Family.
Family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tia. Oh, Tia. Duh.
Okay. Tia Aburrida.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yes. Okay, well, hope you guys enjoyed this, and we'll see you next week.
I'm glad you learned now all the yamas and niyamas. So go forth with your first and second limb of yoga.
Yes, practice. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Namaste.